the Mac Mubala Show on 720 WGN. Chris Doerr is a partner at the leading tech privacy firm Edelson PC. You might remember we talked to Chris, three, 4 months ago, mostly about facial recognition. And there was a story out this week that kind of was a little alarming. Chris, I think you were telling me about this actually last time that we talked, that it's kind of a unknown thing for Americans. We were talking a little bit about facial recognition and where that's headed for the future. And, you know, we think of it a lot for advertising, different things like that. But there's a lot of other ways that facial recognition will be used. And a study found that about 106 law enforcement agencies are using facial recognition technology, or I might be getting that wrong, but what we're finding out is it's widespread, already being used by a lot of law enforcement agencies. Are they getting the facial recognition data just from mugshots? Do I only have to worry about this if I've been arrested, or what if I got a ticket from a red light camera? How is this being used by law enforcement?
Sure, and thanks again for having me on. Facial recognition has been being, frankly, used by the government and law enforcement really before it has come to the consumer market. As we discussed last time I was on, my focus is more on private entities, but this technology has been around and has been developed, and as is the case with many technologies, sees a lot of first light in government uses. So right now there are cameras all across the country and cities that are being operated mostly by cities and local law enforcement. And there are databases that are being built. Some are being acquired from live video, some are being acquired from mugshots, and some are being acquired, as this report showed, from DMV driver's license pictures, which I think is probably one of the things that people are kind of taking a step back when they read this news to understand that there are a lot more pictures being fed into the system from sources that they didn't realize.
You know, the DMV one, that makes sense because everybody's got our photo from that. And I guess I don't, you know, I have no idea what I do when I get my license or my photo. I imagine that the state has some right to use that photo for other purposes that they expressly lay out. And if I don't agree to that, then I could not have a license and I probably don't have much of a choice in the matter, right?
Yeah, a lot of people do. Government officials I've seen quoted on this use the line that having a driver's license is a privilege,
right?
And it is at the leave of the state to allow you to have it. So you know, this is a very difficult issue because obviously there is a lot of merit to providing law enforcement with the tools that they need to keep people safe. And they have a pretty singular motivation when they look at the options that they have. And if someone comes to them and says, I have a technology that can help you find a terrorist in your city in a matter of hours. And I think if that was put to a public vote and everyone said, you know, should we have this option? Should we give this to the police? People would instinctively say yes. But what the public doesn't think about and what law enforcement doesn't necessarily think about or isn't necessarily required to think about is the broader consequences of keeping people safe and the things that come with it, and asking the questions about, wait a minute, let's take a step back, let's understand this process, where is this data coming from, how is it being used, is it being monitored, and do we understand the full breadth of it?
Well, and so, you know, if I don't commit crimes, then maybe I'm not so worried about it, unless I'm worried like, well, now they're going to recognize me maybe if I'm speeding in a car. But they do that through license plates. So where for the ordinary citizen does the concern come in? Is it with how law enforcement will use it, or is it that other people will get their hands on it and that could cause me problems?
I think the main focus of this and people's concerns and reaction to it is focused on how law enforcement uses it and whether or not there is proper procedures in place to understand whether they are following the constitutional protections of both the Fourth Amendment and of free speech, and allowing people that are not suspected of crimes to be put in a position where they could be suspected of crimes because of this technology. There's a lot of concerns about potential for discrimination or inaccuracies that come with it, and whether or not certain demographics are affected more than others. So it's the issue is, you know, it's a new technology. Even though it has been around for a while, it is moving very quickly and it is getting better, and there is representations about it is 95% accurate. But then you'll also look and they'll say, but we actually don't guarantee that it's accurate. And so that gives a lot of people pause and says, we want to make sure that this is being used in a thoughtful way, that it is not being used to discriminate, that it is not being used to suppress free speech, that it is being used in a targeted and specific way to achieve the goal that the public and law enforcement want, which is to help keep people safe. And the report puts out the idea that there needs to just be more of oversight and more regulation, that this is kind of happening at the moment at a very fast rate in very individual areas. Each city is kind of doing it in a different way. Some have regulation, some don't. And so the report out of Georgetown is putting out the idea that there should be some uniformity to how we use this technology, how we think about it, and making sure that there are safeguards in place just with all aspects of civil liberties and how law enforcement interacts with the public to make sure that there are safeguards to balance the interests.
Wouldn't this technology already fall under legal statutes we already have, say on like tapping cell phones or using, you know, information that we didn't get a warrant for, things like that? I mean, isn't it already covered in some way, or is this technology something that is so different than the surveillance skills we already have that it's not covered by current law?
It really doesn't necessarily cleanly fall into any other area at the moment. You know, those wiretapping laws are really focused on communication. So you and I are on the phone right now, and so that regulates whether or not someone can tap in and listen to us without permission. But, you know, it's a broader question. If you're walking down LaSalle Avenue here in Chicago and there is a camera that captures your face, you're in public. You know, what is your right to privacy at that point? And that is a very wide open question. And if they're matching your face with something acquired from a driver's license photo, again, that is a state-issued identification. And I think in many instances, a state would say, that's our property. We created this document, we created this photo, and we have a right to use it as we see fit. And so these are issues that haven't been litigated. They haven't been touched by any, you know, national or state legislatures for the most part. And so there's a lot of gray right now. And that allows there to be a lot of unknowns. And each you know, law enforcement agency and city department is able to kind of make their own choices as how they use this and be as transparent or not transparent as they want.
Well, you know, we see so often today crimes that are committed either in a grocery store or at a train stop, somewhere where there are cameras already present and rolling. And I imagine that the technology makes it so much easier to track down than somebody who's committed a crime that maybe would be very difficult to otherwise. So we see the need and the usefulness for this technology, but the concern is more of our civil. I imagine the most concern is with discrimination and things like that, right? Because if they already have our information and they're just using it when there's crimes or things that they're going after, I mean, civil liberties wise, what is our real concern? That they'll start monitoring people more, I guess, more like suspicions, and so we start following people, we can keep an eye on them because we can recognize them facially in different areas?
That's part of it. Discrimination is obviously a big question of it, although the systems themselves don't necessarily distinguish between people of race. They are looking at your actual measurements, your geometric template of your face, and so the systems themselves are not designed to distinguish that.
They don't look at variations in skin tone?
They don't. That's publicly information. That's what's referenced in the report, but the report also calls some of that into question about the source of the data that they're using, if there is a higher possibility for inaccuracies towards African Americans, if African Americans appear in the databases in a higher number. And so these are the kind of like granular level questions that these professors at Georgetown are putting out there to say, you know, are we thinking through these steps? If there are inaccuracies in the systems, are they going to affect certain people more than others? So that's the type of question that is being looked at. I think another issue that certainly is raised in this report and is something that makes people uncomfortable is whether or not these systems are being used for a broader tracking purpose of tracking things that are otherwise lawful but are of interest to law enforcement. I think the best example is looking back at the 1960s and Martin Luther King and the civil rights movement and some of the activity that the FBI took part in tracking essentially protesters. And there has been concerns that is taking place today with a lot of the protests and movements that are currently seeing around the country, and whether or not this could be used as surveillance of people that are otherwise acting lawfully. And that is, I think, at the heart of a lot of civil liberties groups' concerns about how this technology could be implemented.
Well, it's going to be very interesting to follow. How fast, I mean, is there legislation proposed right now? Is this just really so far under the radar with everything else going on in the country that it's not going to really see the light of day as far as legislation being passed or safeguards put in place?
I'm presently not aware of any legislation. I think that, you know, this report is an important document that is putting together a lot of information that has not been put in one place before. And the purpose of it, and I think, you know, their purpose in putting it together is to start a conversation and to bring it to the public attention, not to say we shouldn't be using it, that law enforcement is, you know, really abusing this in any way. It's more like this is happening, it's going to keep happening. You know, once this is out of the box and it is proved to be useful, there's no putting it back. And so the question is, how do we use it in a way that law enforcement is able to use it productively and that we as a society are comfortable with it? And so if this conversation can reach a more national level and be seen in the media, then that is going to probably start a lot of inquiries at state level legislatures and hopefully at some point at the federal level.
And Chris, if you had a say in it, what would you like to see be done? Just monitor how this is being used, or do you think something should be implemented right now to regulate?
I think that there should be steps that are taken, and it's tough to say at what level, but probably initially at the state level, just to make sure that there are checks and balances, that there are, you know, audits being conducted on the systems to understand where their weaknesses are and where their inaccuracies are, to put more transparency into what is feeding into the database, to let people know that as part of acquiring a driver's license, that this information is being made available to law enforcement agencies, whether it be local or federal. As I think I said it before on your show, we're not against the use of this technology in either the private or the public sector. Our big push is always about transparency and letting people have a choice in certain matters, being able to have understanding of how their information is being used. And if we get enough voices at the table, civil liberties groups, government agencies, and law enforcement, then we can, you know, make sure that the process is done in a thoughtful manner that attends to all interests.
Well, we'll keep an eye on it. They'll keep an eye on us, I guess. Christopher Doerr
is
a partner at Edelson PC. You can follow them online at Edelson PC on Twitter. Go to edelson.com for more information. Christopher Doerr, thanks so much for jumping on the phone.
Absolutely, Matt. Thanks very much.
Maybe I'm going to start wearing a mask now just because of the live stream we do that you can watch us at all times at WGNradio.com. I can't have that out there. I'm going to have to cover up some way. Matt Bubala, 720 WGN.